Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio, with Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. And Doug, you have had some great advisory board meetings this past week. And again, you mentioned they went off without a technical hitch.
You know, and quite honestly, Mick, in this day and age, in this time frame, I think that's probably the first thing that we do is we tip our hat to, as you said, to those IT doctors that that are saving lives, from all the online meetings that have been them taking place. So we normally have 8 advisory board meetings scattered across North Dakota, and they don't necessarily take place in the big towns. They can go from Crosby to Colfax, and they can go from Dickinson to Donnybrook and everywhere in between. And unfortunately, the situation with COVID, the responsible thing to do was to say, we still need to have these meetings. We need to be able to connect with the hunters and anglers, the farmers and the ranchers, because we're mandated by law to have 8 advisory board meetings in the spring and in the fall for us to go out and bring some of the projects and the plans that we have from Game and Fish out, and then to accept some input and to listen and hear what some of the problems people might be having. And the best thing that we could do in this current situation turned out to be absolutely fabulous, because we were able to have 2 sets of online meetings, kind of broke it up to allow maybe a little more discussion on Western North Dakota on the first night and then Eastern North Dakota on the second night. But quite frankly, I watched both nights because you're able to hear from different points of view and get a little different perspective, which is definitely good, because the philosophy, like if you look at it from Game and Fish, from the headquarters office in Bismarck, they're able to hear from a hunter in Dickinson and also hear, well, that might be your problem, but this is, if we try to fix your problem with a wrench in Dickinson, we might need a hammer in Devil's Lake. Mm-hmm. And, one fix might be another problem someplace else. So it really provided a unique opportunity for everybody from Game and Fish to kind of cross connect in an online form. I get and I understand, even myself personally, there's definitely, as a lot of people understand in this day and age, there's something to be said for losing that personal connection from sitting down in a meeting, in the cafe, in the community center, and having a cup of coffee and a cookie and laughing and joking. But at the same time, we're also able to bring maybe more technical insight, because we can have our wildlife veterinarian and our aquatic nuisance species coordinators and everybody really at the click of a mouse, we can have access to them so we can get answers more rapidly. So I think as the dust kind of settles here on a Friday afternoon after these advisory board meetings, I think there's a lot of people nodding their head and saying, it could have been a disaster, and it turned out really, really good. In fact, in some aspects of sharing information and connecting, there's a lot of people that say that, this was almost even better, Mick.
Wow. So, yeah, 'cause I know when you get a group together and somebody wants to stand up and voice their opinion, they're a little reluctant to, well, what's everybody going to think of me? And yet when you're online it's much easier to, speak out, because people aren't going to laugh and point at you in the same room.
and you know what? And you again, that's the reality of it. Is like, we had it set up so you could send in an email question, and so your question wouldn't be taken out of context. We had our Greg Freeman, one of our communication specialists, he could email back and say, is this what you meant? We just want to make sure, and we can get the correct answer out to everybody. So you're right, if you have that hesitancy, because that's normally when we have these face-to-face meetings, the first hour, what we try to do is ask for the questions or the statements, or let us know how deer season was from the hunters and the anglers, from the farmers and the ranchers that show up. Because I should also make sure that people understand, is this isn't just like heavy on Game and Fish. In fact, our 4 advisory board members out of 8 have to be nominated by farm and ranch groups and organizations. 4 from hunters and anglers and sportsmen's clubs, and then also 4 from the hunt or the farming and the ranching community. You know, guys like Cody Sand out of Ashley. I mean, that he is just a great resource for us, so we can better understand from the ranching community how stuff that Game and Fish is doing or how things that Game and Fish aren't doing impact. So I wanted to make sure and get that out there. It's not just, hey, this is all just a bunch of hunters and anglers, or this is all just, you know, weighed on Game and Fish. And that really helps us out to get that perspective. And, you know, also realizing that those farmers and ranchers that are listening this afternoon, they're hunters and anglers as well. There's such a huge crossover, which is why we from Game and Fish, you know, so appreciate our getting to have those visits with you, Mick, because those, the guys and the gals, their sons and daughters, they're farming and ranching. They're digging in the dirt, but they're also, when they get done, they want to go out and do some fishing this weekend. They want to make sure that they can draw a deer tag coming up this fall. So there's a long history of that crossover connection, Mick.
And in most cases, that's their land that everybody else is hunting on.
Well, I don't remember the percent, but it's somewhere around 90% of North Dakota land is privately owned. So if you draw a deer tag this fall, yeah, there's public land and there's plots land that you can hunt, but there's a pretty good chance that you're going to need to have a relationship with a farmer and a rancher to have some access to hunting. Legendary fishing and walleye and perch are happening all across North Dakota on some of those sloughs that you know, might have been kind of dried out cattail sloughs. They flooded over, and to get access in the wintertime to do some ice fishing, you're going to need to have access. Unfortunately, you know, quite honestly, we've had some problems in the past because some of the anglers haven't been respectful to those section lines. They can access that lake and that slough to catch some perch, but they're going to have to use a section line to do it, and they've rutted it up. They've kind of driven off to the side to get around this low spot and gone over some private land. So we really, as Game and Fish, try to stress to the hunters and the anglers, hey, you really need to think twice when you're going out there, because without that farmer and rancher saying, you know what, yeah, head on out there and go out there and shoot a deer, without that farmer and rancher saying, yeah, you know what, it'd be a shame for those perch out there to winter kill and all die off, we got no problem if you guys, you know, if you park over here and then maybe drag the ice shelter out there and catch some perch, we got no problem with that. So that's really part of the message that comes along through advisory board meetings, is that hunter, landowner, sportsman relationship that we need to emphasize, Mick.
All righty. Focusing on the eastern part of the state, we've got time for a couple of highlights from the feedback you got this week.
Deer. I mean, we could talk about deer on April 30th and May 1st, we could talk about deer on June 30th and July 1st, Mick. And here's the bottom line is, when it comes to our 2020 deer season, we're projecting that we're going to have more deer tags available, which is good for hunters to give them maybe a little better odds of drawing a tag, which is good for farmers and ranchers. Their kids might, you know, go in through the regular lottery, so they might have some better odds. If you're a farmer or rancher that doesn't deer hunt, you've had problems in the past with deer and livestock feed supplies, deer depredation, we're looking at adding just a little over 3,500 more deer tags. We're going to be up to close to 70,000 tags in North Dakota. This isn't signed, sealed, and delivered, but it's kind of what our proposal is going forward. And if you look back about 5 years ago in 2015, we had 43,000 tags. So we're definitely providing more opportunity for deer hunters to draw a tag, hopefully reducing the number of deer depredation problems, maybe helping out reducing some of the car deer collisions that take place. So that's definitely was first and foremost on a lot of people's minds, was the deer tag proposal, Mick.
All right. Any fishing concerns?
We changed some rules and regulations on transporting fish. And the long and the short of it is it's something that if you're going to be heading up to Devil's Lake or out to Lake Sakakawea this year, two fillets equal one fish. That's the short end of it. You use it at the fish cleaning station, clean those fish up. When you're going to be transporting them back, Two fillets equal one fish. We've got more details on the Game and Fish Department website, but that's definitely one to highlight. Was that rule regulation change that went into effect on April 1st? We're starting to see more fishing pick up, so it was just a pretty good reminder to get out there heading into the weekend, Mick.
All right, Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. Well, happy May Day, even though we can't say that on the radio. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, maybe face-to-face.
Oh, that sounds great, Mick. I'm looking forward to it. Have a great weekend. Take care, my friend.
All righty. Everybody stay safe, and we'll talk to you Monday right here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. This is Farm Talk.